This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
1-3. Let's get it.
Hey,
let's add some fun.
Hey.
My laid back bars hit harder than Ike Turner. Killing these beats, they calling it Mike Murder. Living out the box, you on the way I might turn up. Cameos round the globe like the dude that wrote Word Up. No trending topic, just hashing out in Europe. Keep the heads nodding, they calling the flow syrup. Verses weighing tons, and some couldn't pick a word up. Not playing if you not understand. Little niggas just turn up.
And that's the word up, you get heard up like Sonics. Have your chick hanging off my words like phonics. I might vomit. Overdosing off these cartoon niggas. You and your man are real Wallace and Gromit. Put you on the news, the subject, the correspondence. Cook that ass up and leave you fold the cheese omelet. The watch on my wrist, show your girl what time it is. Check the game, you can get the fuck out of here.
We out here, so these niggas can't see me. The flow's off the wall like it's graffiti in 3D. Got them so shook
that they... The flow's off the wall like it's graffiti in 3D. That's a bar, if I do say so myself. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.D. Flam, representing the White Pan Society. And I must start this off, as I always do, by thanking you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill with me, listen to my stories. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and that means the world to me. I do greatly, greatly appreciate it. Man, started with that. That is another life. That is back in the day. That's me and my brother remixing that Jay-Z Kanye West joint, the oldest track. Man, this shit with Kanye is like, it's truly sad. I'm not going to speak on it one way or the other, but I had to start with that track because that is a dope memory of good times, you know, with me and my bro. And this episode is going to be all about my brothers.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're colored. Give me a high five.
Not all of them are colored, but you know, I love them all the same.
Aww.
Anyway, first things first, before I get into any of that, I do need to give a quick update on something I haven't spoken on in quite a while. Man, it's been 370 days and still no word from Rhapsody. It was about a year ago this time that, you know, I made it known. I started my campaign to just have a conversation with Rhapsody. And to this day, you know, not a peep, crickets, you know, not even a shout on my birthday, you know. I knew when it started that it was a long shot, but you know, a man can dream, can't he? I don't really want much out of life. You know, I want my daughter to be happy and healthy, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That'd be nice. And then as a close third, just a one-on-one conversation with Rhapsody. I don't know. Maybe one day. Hope springs eternal, you know. All right, enough of that. On to the show. Anyway, let's get into the meat and potatoes. Let's do the Chef Elise report real quick.
Out of Pepe.
My show is. I just want to just, you know, cautionary tale, just piece of advice. Flu and cold season is real this year. Like it's not a game. Like it's not a game. I've been sick multiple times already. You know, it's hindered my ability to record the show. And the first time I got sick, I think it was the flu. My daughter got diagnosed with the flu. I never went to the doctor because, yeah, that's what I do. But so you know, we were sick together for that first one. I think I got it from her. And then I ran through a second bout or something, like maybe a few weeks ago, you know, when I didn't drop an episode. And it seems that now she's taking her second go around with a virus. Hopefully not the flu, but, you know, she has a fever and she's sick and all of that. So I'm going to go over there and see her tomorrow, try to help out and make sure she's okay. You know, make sure my sweet pea is doing all right. But yeah, man, like, be careful out there, because these illnesses is not a game. And these kids are just, the carriers. I don't know. I mean, I hate to think of my daughter that way, but I'm saying. Anyway, yeah, not much between me and Chef Elise this week. She did send me a little video for my birthday. You know, she was dancing around, wishing me a happy birthday. It was cute, you know. Being a dad is pretty cool. My ex-wife also sent me a picture of her. Like, she got balloons and stuff, you know, for her birthday as a part of the decorations for the birthday party. And, you know, she's a sucker for balloons. She loves balloons. And I guess she came home from school and had to use the bathroom. I don't know why I guess it was a dope picture. But anyway, my ex-wife sent me a picture of her, like, sitting on the toilet, like, with the balloons. Like, she didn't even look happy about it. Like, she didn't even look like, I guess, are you supposed to be happy on the toilet? But she had balloons. Like, and she didn't even look enthused about her holding the balloons, but she was holding them. Like, and I know nobody gave them to her. Like, you know, she was sitting on the toilet and they was like, oh, hold the balloons so I can take a picture. You know, she took them in there and sat down to do whatever she had to do with the balloons and just had to have them, even if they wasn't, like, hyping her up. It was crazy to me. It was an interesting picture to receive. I just wanted to share that with somebody. I don't know if you probably don't care, but whatever. I ain't have much to report on the Chef Elise report this week. This is my off week, so we're going to have a short report. I do have, you know, other stuff to talk about, but that's it for Chef Elise.
Out of Pepe.
You know I am, and proud to be. So let me get back to what this episode is going to be about. Like I said, it's about my brothers. And when I say that, I don't have any, like, blood brothers. Like, I don't have, you know, my mother didn't have any sons. I think my dad at one point had another boy, and unfortunately he never made it out of the hospital. So, you know, it's not like a brother that I got to know or even see, really. But, you know, over the course of my life, I've called a lot of dudes brother. Like, it's kind of related. I don't really have friendships. Me, like, we brothers. Like, if I care that much about you to consider you my friend, I care about you like a friend. Like, I care about you like a brother. And I haven't always been smart with my decisions or who I call brothers. Not everybody was deserving. But the few that are, have been like a real true blessing for me. I did an episode about, like, men's friendships and the relationships with men and, like, what's lacking in terms of emotional support, man. And that's just a thing. I don't think that's any, it's not representative of anything wrong or any lack of closeness between me and my male friends. But because they are my brothers, and I know, like, if I ever needed them for anything, phone call away, whatever, we may not speak for months, years sometimes, but, you know, if I need them, they're just a phone call away, and they know the same for me. Today, I got to hang out, you know, with two of my brothers from the recovery world. These were guys that were roommates of mine back when I lived in a sober house. And even though I've been out of that situation almost 2 years now, we still remain, you know, really close. I mean, like, you know, close for dudes. Like I say, like, some of that emotional support shit, like, you know, I tell somebody I got the flu, they be like, oh, that sucks, Felicia, that type of shit. But we still, like, super close. And so one of the dudes, you know, Chad, who I talk about on the show all the time, that's my white brother. That's one of the not colored ones. But, you know, he started a tradition. He's one of my ex-roommates. And he started a tradition where we take each other out to dinner for one another's birthdays. And the shit has got out of hand. It's got crazy. It's gotten really crazy, you know, because we like to, when we all first met, like, in a sober house, you understand, like, what situation people are probably at in life if they're living in a sober home. Like, I think at the time I probably was only a couple of months removed from, you know, my McDonald's career. I think I was back in IT, so I was back to making decent money. But, you know, I had just been, you know, a McDonald's employee. And in matter of fact, like, I guess I was put in a position where I was supposed to be spearheading, like, the opening of the house. Like, I was the, what they call the charter member of the house. And I was supposed to go out and, like, try to get donations and people to donate furniture and money and shit like that so we could get this house kicked off on the right foot. But I'm not a salesperson. I'm not good at that. I don't enjoy asking for shit. Like, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with people giving me stuff. And I absolutely, like, if you do give me something, I'm gonna be appreciative of it and all. I'm not gonna refuse it, but I'm not gonna ask you for anything. I'm working on that, but that's just not who I am. So, you know, at the time when I was supposed to be doing all of this, I wasn't asking people for, you know, anything for the house. And so I spent so much money, you know, filling in those gaps of stuff I should have been asking for, you know, myself, that by the time I got into the house, like, I was dead broke. I spent maybe like the first 2 or 3 weeks surviving off like popcorn and Frosted Flakes. Like, that's where it was. And then, you know, these dudes, they moved in and they were at where they were at in life. You know, I think we was doing, like, you know, landscaping and, you know, cutting meat at barbecue places. Like, dudes was, we was doing what we had to do to stay out of trouble, kind of situation. And so now that we are all in a much better place, and I'm so proud of, like, you know, those men, and, like, you know, seeing, being able to watch their progress and, like, participate in it and feel like I had, you know, some sort of positive influence in that. And we're all in a much better place. And when we go to these dinners, we're always trying to go someplace nice. Like, we're trying to do something that we couldn't have done 2 years ago, 3 years ago, however long. And so, yeah, it's just gotten out of control. Earlier this year, for Chad's birthday, we went to a Vince Young Steakhouse here in Austin. And they got, like, a, whatever, all three of us ordered, like, the most expensive steak on the menu. And then, like, when we do this, we're not, you know, like, fuck budgets. Like, you know, we here, we're not going to always be here. So, you know, if we here this time, we do it, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it to the fullest. We getting appetizers, we getting, you know, whatever we want off the menu. If it's the most expensive thing, then fuck it, that's what we're doing. And we go in. And that bill put a pause in me. Like, that was the first, like, that was one of the first times I got a bill for a meal, and, like, it just, like, I needed silence for a couple seconds. I needed nobody to talk to me for a minute while I come to terms with what's about to happen to my account. Like, just everybody shut the fuck up for a little bit while I figure this out in my head. It's going to happen. I got it. I'm going to take care of it. I understood what we was coming into. And I wasn't doing it solo. Like, you know, the non-birthday brothers split the bill. I accidentally finessed my younger friend out of like $100, something like that. It got crazy with the way we were splitting it, and ended up getting cash from somebody, and I should have been splitting that cash with him, and I didn't, because I don't know what I was thinking. We figured it out later, and I tried to offer him the money, and he was like, "Man, you've done other shit. Like, you know, it's just, it'll all balance itself out. Like, this is probably payback for some shit I already owed you." Like, that's the kind of friends and brothers that we are. And I'm like, I'm just proud to, like, be in that situation with them, where we don't ever trip off of shit like that. And that we can do that, you know, from where we were. But anyway, so yeah, so that was Chad's birthday, where we all got these, like, $90 steaks with, like, the a la carte sides and dessert and everything. The cool thing is, we all sober. So, you know, the drinks is usually, I normally do water, and not because I'm being cheap, just because, you know, I don't know how I got to this place, but I'm in a place now where, like, that's just my preferred beverage. At home, I drink water most of the time. So when we go to these places, I drink water. One homie is, like, super fit and he was a vegan. I don't think he's doing that shit no more, thank God. So, yeah, he drinks water, and then, like, Chad may get, like, a unsweetened tea or something like that. So our drink, our beverage budget is pretty low, so we get to spend that on other shit. But that was the biggest one we had done to date for Chaz's birthday. And I took offense a little. Like, I was like, man, brought us out here, hit us with this super check. When my birthday come, I got to match. Like, I can't be outdone. I got to match it or do better. So, you know, it was time for me to choose where I wanted to go for my birthday dinner. And I picked this restaurant. It's a restaurant I had been to before, but the only other time I had been there was because somebody gave my ex-wife and I a gift card to this restaurant as a wedding gift. You know, as we went there and like somebody else pretty much paid for it. So, you know, we were going, and even then, like, we was staying within the confines of that gift card. So we ain't had a full experience. I'm like, man, that's where we going. We going there for my birthday. And then I started, as soon as I said that's where I wanted to go, and Chad was like, bet, we can do that. You know, you start fantasizing about your meal. So I wanted to go check out the menu. And I looked at them prices and I was like, oh shit, what have I done? Like, what have I done? I ain't mean to do this to my friends. Like, I you know, this is not what you do to people you say you love, put them in a position where now they're on the hook for shit like this. And so I was feeling some kind of way already approaching the dinner. And then we get there and it was crazy. One, like Chet, like that's my homie. It's my brother. Love him to death. But I don't think I have seen him in a pair of long pants ever in the entirety of our friendship. Like, I've he wears shorts and t-shirts and sneakers and a hat everywhere. Like, that is his wardrobe. He recently got engaged and I was talking to him about, oh man, like, oh shit, does this mean I get to see you in a suit? And he's like, fuck no. Like, we go into the Justice of the Peace. It's gonna be another day for me. Like, that's how I'm rocking. Like, that is Chad. And I knew this place was a little, you know, hoity, bougie, whatever you want to call it. So I was like, right before we was supposed to meet up over there, I was like, shit, let me check the dress code for myself to make sure that, you know, I can wear what I want to wear. Cause I'm in a place now where I ain't ironing shit. Like, I used to be the ironing king. I got one of them steamers. I don't like wrinkles. I'm not a wrinkle person. Wrinkles make me uncomfortable. I don't like wearing seatbelts in cars because they wrinkle your clothes. Like, that's how I feel about wrinkles. I'm serious about wrinkles. But I've gotten to a place now where I just, like, I've been in Austin so long, I don't give a fuck anymore. So, you know, I'm not ironing nothing. You know, I typically wear jeans everywhere I go. And I typically wear t-shirts. I wear, like, what is TWS merch everywhere I go. I knew I wasn't going to be able to do that for this spot, or at least I thought I wasn't going to be able to do that. But I just wanted to check. So I checked, and I'm looking off the dress code, you know, what you can and cannot do. And right there, it was like, no hats. And, like, we have legit walked away from places because they wouldn't let Chad in with his hat. So I was like, oh, shit. Like, so I hit him up immediately, and I was like, dude, you know, they don't allow hats. Is that going to be cool? And he's like, yeah, we'll see what they say when they get there. And he's a bigger dude, and he's white, so he don't really have that, like, fear of being an angry black man. You know, when he goes places, if he don't like something, like, he got no problem, like, letting everybody know he don't fucking like it or he ain't taking his hat off, that type of situation. So I ain't know what was going to go down. But this is true friendship. We get there, we go to check in, and this is great customer service. We go to check in for our reservation, And the lady didn't say, sir, you can't wear that hat in here. She didn't say anything like that that could have been possibly confrontational. What she did, which was fucking genius, and this is just a tip, she just offered him the solution. She didn't say you can't have a hat. She just, as soon as she saw it, she said, oh, can I check your hat for you? And he was like, all right. You know, like I don't know. I guess that just smoothed it over. It's like, you didn't tell me what I can and cannot do. You actually just offered to help me. So he checked his hat. He took his hat off and had an entire meal without a hat on for my birthday. It's fucking friendship. Fucking friendship. That's how dudes express love. That's dope. I appreciate it. But that was already a sign of, like, where we were and what was getting ready to go down. Then we get to the table. And, like, you know, in this post-COVID world, like a lot of places you go, even nice places, don't give you menus anymore. They'll show you a, you know, a QR code or something. You got to pull up the menu on your phone and, you know, and figure out what you want that way, that type of shit. This place still had menus, but the menus was tablets. Like they brought like e-ink tablets with like backlit screens, you know, for everybody. And they was in like menu holders, the little folder looking type shit. But they was straight up tablets. And I was like, oh shit, like it's, they not playing. Like they seriously not playing. And then when you start looking at the menu and there's a lot of shit to say market price on it, like, oh no. But we did it. We did it to death, and it was dope. It was an amazing meal. You know, we spared no expense. You know, we got what we wanted, several appetizers, you know. And I think some of that is like us flexing on the people in the place that probably can tell, you know, we're not their usual clientele. We're like, we're not usually the people who show up here. Like, Chad took the hat off, but he was wearing shorts and a t-shirt and sneakers. You know, I was wearing tennis shoes, but I tried to make them like some nice tennis shoes that you might mistake. First, I put on my Cole Haans or whatever for this situation. But I had my jeans on, little polo, you know. But we definitely, it was people that was suited and booted and came there to take pictures. Like, this was, you know, special occasion type shit. And we just came in there like we was going to Wendy's or something. But, it's, you know, it's what we do. So I think some of it was us flexing. Like, you know, nah, nothing on here is... Like, you don't have to treat us like, you know, you don't have to not talk to us about that side of the menu, because we might get something from that side of the menu. Matter of fact, give me everything on that. Now, we ain't go that hard, but we was just like, yeah, you know, we got several appetizers. Everybody got their, you know, their main courses. They gave me a complimentary dessert. It was my first time having baked Alaska. My first time having a whole, like, flambé experience. Wasn't ready for it. And this is how... Like, serious I am with the sobriety thing. Like, it fucked with me a little bit. Like, they came and they poured the stuff on there and it was on fire and stuff. And I was like, man, I'm asking people, like, the alcohol burns off, right? Like, all the alcohol burns off. And, you know, and that was the consensus of the table, was like, the alcohol burns off. Cause I don't fuck with NyQuil. I don't use, like, vanilla extract that has alcohol in it. Like, I alcohol-free everything. Like, it's not that I truly believe that if a drop of alcohol gets into my system, I'm going back down that road. But I'm so afraid of ever going back that road. Like, why would I risk it? Like, give me a reason good enough to risk it. So I was nervous about the whole flambé situation, but it was all right. I probably won't ever do Baked Alaska again. It wasn't nothing crazy. And I didn't like the flavor that was left over from what I guess it was, it tasted like rum, whatever they must have poured on this thing, whatever liqueur or whatever. It was off-putting. I ain't like it. Like, that's a blessing too. That's a blessing. Cause the way I went, we'll get into that later. But the way I went, I've been licking the plate or some shit like that. But anyway, yeah, it was a very, very a dope meal. Everything was amazing. It's probably one of the best meals we've had, in my opinion. I think most of them would agree. And we just sat, we chopped it up, and we was bros. And it was a good night. I was truly impressed with the place, like, right up until they brought us the check. Like, everything was just, like, top-notch right up until they brought us the check. Like I said, they brought us the menus, and the menus was on, like, e-ink tablets. And the shit was hilarious. Is like, I think it was like time for dessert, and they told me they were bringing a complimentary dessert for me because it was my birthday. And Chad was like, "Well, you got a dessert menu?" And the dude was like, "Bet, you know, I'll be back." He didn't say bet, you know, he said something far more professional and bougie than that. But he tipped off, and when he came back, we was in mid conversation, and he just like set the menu down in front of Chad's face, and it's backlit. So like all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, like Chad's face is blue, and it's the menu, and like, he ain't even say nothing. It was. I don't know. It didn't cost him anything on the tip because it was funny. And I guess it was good customer service, but whatever. But they brought us the bill, you know, and it's my birthday, so I didn't have to reach or pretend or any of that type of shit. You know, I knew where it was going. But I saw him open it, and it was backlit too. I saw a light and I was like, oh shit, you know, they even put the bills on little tablets. And then when I actually saw it like open, it was just the paper receipt on top of like a backlit screen or something. And I'm like, well, that was just unnecessary. Like just completely unnecessary. Like any other place you go, they bring you the same little folio with the paper receipt in there and there's no backlight on it and you can see it and you can read it and sign it and all that shit. Like, what was the purpose of putting a backlit screen behind a sheet of paper? Like, just y'all could have saved some money and not charged me so much for the, you know, lobster tail or whatever. Like, that, just relax on that. Like, that fucked with me. But that was just me nitpicking. But anyway, yeah, it was a good night up until then and then leaving. So now that I'm 41, let me give you all some advice from an old man. And this is something I've known for a long time and I practice and I've been fucking up and like it's come back to haunt me. Never, and I repeat, never, never take another man's bet. Never. If a person approaches you with a bet, it's for a reason. If they come to you with a bet, you know, they know what they're proposing. Like, they know what they're offering you. And people normally wouldn't offer you a situation that wasn't advantageous to them. Never take another man's bet. I've been betting on football games with Chad all season. And I'm getting my ass handed to me. Like, it's horrible. And we don't bet money. We bet, like, dinners. Like, you know, who going to pay for this or who going to do that? I think we bet some Bitcoin because that shit is, well, you know, I don't know. I bought some Bitcoin. I buy, like, every week. And I think I'm just stubborn at this point. I refuse to believe that the shit is not coming back. And I'm just holding on for pride or some shit like that. So the last bet, I'm like, man, you accept Bitcoin? So I'm like, yeah, I ain't buying no dinners. I'll pay you in Bitcoin. And I lost that one too. But we did one bet for on the Cowboys game. And the bet was whoever lost had to wear a shirt from the other team. Because y'all know I'm a Commanders fan, born and raised in D.C. Can't help it. Had no choice in the matter. And then Chad is a Texan. So he's a Cowboys fan. And, you know, so we should hate each other, but we found a way to be cool. But that was the bet, you know. Whoever lost had to wear a shirt from the other team. And the moment I took the bet, like, Chad was just over the moon with excitement. Like, he started sending me pictures of the shirt. Like, he wanted to buy the shirt that I was going to have to wear. So he started sending me, like, pictures of shirts he was looking at. And they were all bad. They were all really bad. I think the worst one he sent me was, it said something like, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but my boyfriend is. Like, so he was gonna try to make this hurt. He was gonna try to embarrass me with his shirt. And so, you know, I think he didn't care about how much the meal cost tonight. Like, that's not why he came out. Like, of course he came out to celebrate my birthday, but the most important part about tonight was he was showing up with the shirt and I was gonna have to take a picture with it. And it was pretty tame. The shirt just said, like, this is what a Cowboys fan looks like or something like that. And he just knows that for somebody like me, who feels the way I feel about the Cowboys, that hurt. Like, that was, it was hard for me to do. He did say that the option B that he was looking at, which he didn't go with, was a shirt that said, you know, I love the D. And that would have been hilarious. I'm glad he didn't go that way because, you know, whatever. That would have been hilarious. But I guess that's still, like, homie love. Like, he knew. Like, I'm trying to hurt him, but I ain't trying to hurt him like that. Like, it's a light jab. I'm not throwing haymakers. That would have been fucked up. So yeah, after the whole meal, after the great meal, the great service, the experience at this place, I had to stand outside of the restaurant with this fucking shirt on and take pictures. It took him, like, I don't know, more tries than it needed to be to get a picture he liked. And yeah, so yeah, whatever. I probably clean the bathroom this week with that shirt or some shit like that. I told my mom, asked me what I was going to do with it. I'm like, I don't know. I just know if I ever have to fuck around with bleach, yeah, I got something to wear. But it is what it is. But yeah, you know, I got to hang out with my brothers today, and that was a super dope thing. And I love him and appreciate him for that. So, you know, salute Chad and Isaiah. I appreciate y'all. Thank you for the awesome meal. But anyway, I know it's already been a half an hour, but I'm going to try to make this last part quick, but I got to do it. So back to that opening track, right? December is a crazy month for me in terms of birthdays. So it starts immediately. December 1st is my daughter's birthday. December 4th is my half-sister's birthday. December 5th is the birthday of my childhood friend. We met in daycare and we're friends all the way. Well, we went to the same school all the way through middle school. And we still cool now, but just like Facebook cool. Like I haven't seen him in years, but you know, if your birthday is the day before mine, it'd be hard for me to forget and I say something to you about it. So I got that one. And then of course the 6th is my birthday. The 7th is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And it's also my uncle's birthday. He's no longer with us, but that's an important day for me. And then the 13th is coming up. Is my homie, my brother, my big brother, Reggie, aka Slim 13, producer, rapper, filmmaker, extraordinaire. That's his birthday, and so yeah, man, I have to you know acknowledge that and show some love to you know to my big bro because he's been a huge influence and a very very important part of my life. For a long time now. I'm gonna tell a quick story about like the exact moment that I knew, you know, that he was my brother, like that we were brother, like we were not friends, like that we was family. And so this is the story. This is the story of the chicken slap of 05. I'm not sure if it took place in 05 or not. That might not be the right year, but it sounds good. So we're gonna go with that. The chicken slap of 05. So anyway, so I played you the track. I met Reg working at the Pentagon together, of all places. And at the Pentagon, we used to have like Freestyle Fridays. We worked in like a call center doing help desk stuff. And Fridays, we used to just huddle up and just start rapping. And, you know, I started working there first. And I think I had built a little rep for what I was doing. And then all of a sudden, you know, like this new dude shows up and he was actually making music. Like he made beats and like, you know, he had like full on songs and stuff. I felt like he was like taking my shine or whatever. But he came in with a song one day and it had an empty spot on it. And you know, I thought it was dope, so I wrote something to it, and you know, I let him hear it, and he was like, "Oh yeah, man!" Like, next thing I knew, I'm at his house. We recorded the joint, and it was just, you know, and we was tight ever since. But anyway, so that was like my recording at home. He had a label, Respect the Game Entertainment. You know, I became a part of that. I met, you know, other dudes through that you know, we all rapped together, and we all became like family. And the coolest thing about it is, you know, like I am a pretty square dude. Like I'm from the suburbs. You know, I went to, you know, like inner city schools and stuff like that. Like I've always been adjacent to that shit, but I've never been like in it. You know, and my mom was not gonna allow that to happen. You know, I'm not a hood nigga, just a nigga from the hood. I'm not even from the hood. But anyway, but they love me for that. Like, you know, meeting Reg was like one of the first times I felt like I could be me and I could be seen as me and not have to pretend to be something that I wasn't. You know, they would check me if I ever wasn't, you know, being me. If I ever did try to, you know, pretend to be what they were, you know, that was a problem. It's like we would do these records and they're like, "Man, you're supposed to be the voice of reason. You're supposed to be this. You're supposed to be that. You're not supposed to try to sound like us. We love you and we think you dope because you sound like you. So always be you." And that was amazing for me. Like I hadn't had that before. And so, you know, like I loved being a part of this thing. And so anyway, so Reg to throw parties at the, you know, the studio, which was his condo, you know, whatever. And you know, we'd always be there. And everybody knew, you know, who we were and what we were doing. So when we came to the parties, you know, music was always a big part of it. And And I think a lot of people know me for like, they know I'm a, I don't want to say super fan, but I'm a very musically driven person. Like music is everything to me, and hip hop is everything to me. So people do like hearing my opinions on certain things. And they like to ask me about certain songs or certain tracks, certain artists and whatever. And so, you know, back then it was always a conversation like, man, like talk to Flan about this, talk to Flan about that, that type of situation. And so then I was also known for having controversial opinions. I don't want to say I still am not, but I don't know that I am. I've never been a huge Tupac fan. And as a black man, like that's, like this might be, I might get canceled just for that. This might be my last episode. Pay attention to the outro because it might be for real this time. But yeah, I've never been a huge Tupac fan. So I was always getting in debates with people about Tupac. And I tell people now, I'm a laid back person. I'm super like unbothered. I really don't give a fuck about like 99.9% of shit that people be talking about. But if you catch me on like the 0.1% of things that mean something to me, I'm going in. Like I'm not pulling back at all. So, but you got to kind of know me to know that. If you just around me, you know, I'm quiet, reserved. You don't think that this dude is going, you know, have an emotional outburst about anything at any time soon. So we had this party. It's a bunch of, you know, folks there, people I don't know. Reg is making little party wings or whatever. You know, that was the thing back then. We was big into these party wings at the studio. I was usually, you know, intoxicated off of one or more substances. And so, you know, as long as I hadn't taken it too far, food always sounded like a good idea to me. So we had the party wings. Everybody's eating. We're having a good time. And the whole Tupac thing comes up. And so, you know, I think I'm on the balcony and I'm having a discussion. And it's like me against the world, pun intended. But, of course, I'm alone in my opinion. So I'm having that thing. And it's getting heated. Dudes don't like having that conversation. And, you know, that's one of the subjects I get emotional about. So it's getting real. But I step off the balcony and I'm back in, you know, back in the condo. I'm back in the apartment. And the conversation sort of follows me. And it's some chick and she's talking to me about it. And just the perfect storm, like this, it was just the right time. Like everything happened at the same time. Like she's talking to me about it. She's disrespect. It's no longer about Tupac. It's about me. And like, what the fuck is wrong with me that I feel this way about Tupac? And as she's going into that, I guess like the drinks or whatever it is, you know, that I had been consuming was hitting at the right time. Matter of fact, she might not have been going into that. That's just the way I remember it because she was influencing me at the moment. And I don't know what the fuck happened, but I slapped the chicken out of her hand. I just slapped the whole plate, slapped all the chicken out of her hand. It was like the record skipped in the party. Everything stopped. All eyes on me. Another pun. Here we go. I'm doing it today. What the fuck is going on? And so now I feel like I'm under attack. And I don't really, a lot of this is fuzzy to me. Like it's one of those things where I feel like I remember it in like clips, like a highlight reel. Just I was over here and I was over here and I was over here. But like it just got real, real fast. And then I remember like people having to restrain me, dudes picking me up because I'm not a big dude. So it's kind of embarrassing. Like I'm actually getting like picked up and like held and restrained. There's a lot of yelling going on. I think eventually I got literally thrown into the bathroom and then like locked in there. So now I'm sitting in the bathroom, like fuming. I'm still on 10. Like I don't know how to come down type shit. And somebody eventually needs to use the bathroom. So when they open the door, I see that as my moment. Like in my mind, I'm no longer welcome here. I don't need to be in here. I got to get out of here before something bad happens to me. I'm locked in the bathroom. Like I'm whatever. So the bathroom door opens. I sprint out. Boom. Hit the door. Leave the condo. And like I'm nowhere near home. So I'm just like walking down like the side of the highway or whatever. In my mind, I'm going to walk home. No idea how the fuck that was going to happen. But, you know, not in my right state of mind. So anyway, my brother comes out. He comes out to get me. He hops in the car. He's driving. They finally see me. You know, he pulls over. they have to, he got somebody with him. They have to literally like grab me and like throw me in the back seat, get me in the car. And so now like it's all coming down on me. Like, you know, the situation just happened in the party. I feel like I fucked up the party, embarrassed myself in front of everybody. And now like I've put my brother in this situation where he has to like manhandle me this way. And so now, and you know, and I'm super intoxicated. So now I'm in the backseat of this man car, like crying, like I'm like bawling, like, you know. And you know, I'm saying, I don't know if it was addressed at the time or anything like that. I don't remember him saying anything or like egging the situation on. You know, he just kind of drove me home. They got me home. I went in the house and crashed. So I get up the next day, and you know, you had those moments where like I remember, you know, enough of what happened the night before. There's just like super regret and remorse. And but I'm feeling like, you know, like that situation is over. Like that friendship is over. That everything I had built, you know, with all of those dudes, my brothers, I'm feeling like, you know, it's done. Like these people are never gonna wanna have anything to do with me again. You know, I can't take back the stuff that I said. I can't take back the things that I did, you know. No turn, there's no looking back on that. Like it's fucking done. It's to the point where, you know, I'm at this point, I'm invested in the music. I'm enjoying making music, like going to the studio and recording and writing and all of that stuff had become a huge part of my life. So it's not something I want to give up, but I feel like I've lost, you know, that situation with Reg and Respect the Game and all of that. So you know, I'm in my head trying to figure out like, what's my next situation going to be? You know, where can I go to record? You know, who do I know type thing. I'm taking it so far in my head that like I'm preparing for like beef. Like I'm preparing for like rap beef in my head. I'm thinking of like, I'm 8 miling in my head trying to figure out like what track I could make where I could put out all the shit about me that they might say ahead of time and then be ready with a rebuttal when they actually do say something. So I'm planning this track. Like that's where I'm at in my head. Like this shit is over and I now need to be on the offensive because I've created, you know, a whole crew of enemies because of the shit I did last night. Like that's where I'm at. And at that time, at that moment where I'm in that space, my phone rings and I look and it's Reg. So I'm having one of them moments in the house where, you know, your phone is in your hand, you're looking at it ring and you're trying to figure out what to do, like whether you should answer it or not. And I think I decided like, I'd rather just like run head on into this. Like I'd rather like not run from it and ignore this call and have to wait for shit. Like if it's going to happen, let's do it. Let's do it. So I answer the phone. I'm like, yo. And like, just without skipping the beat, without, you know, without any hesitation, like Rez is just like, hey man, you feeling all right? You feeling better? We in the studio, when you coming? And it was just like, shit, like, we still good? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't fuck everything up. Like, y'all still want me to come to the studio? Y'all still want me to be a part of this thing? And he was like, yeah, man, fuck all that. Like, that shit happened. That shit was funny. You ain't gonna never live it down. But, you know, like, that was nothing, dude. Like, that's just some shit that happens. You was drunk. You did some shit. You know, whatever. Like, moving on. Like, we got things to do. We still, like, we family. Like, your family don't end like that. Like, it don't just happen like that. And it was like, and that meant everything to me. And I meant everything to me. I thought I had lost everything. I thought I had lost, you know, my family, like the people who really understood me more than anybody else and who appreciated me for who I was. I thought I had fucked all of that up. And it was nothing to them and to him specifically. And I don't think it's ever been brought up again to this day. Like we joke about the chicken slap. Like that's a thing. But don't nobody go into, yeah, man, and you said this and you did this. It was just slap the chicken out the chicken hand. And that's that's the punchline. And that's all we ever talk about. I don't know. He took one day on that Otis remix. His last bars, something like, you know, I got him nervous coming around me like whenever Pusha Man drinks. Pusha Man was a moniker I had taken on because I made this like Curtis Mayfield cover. But and yeah, so like the whole end of the song is like me you know, screaming about my homie going on me, you know. But it was just, yeah, again, it was a light jab. You know, it was just what brothers do. But, nah, he never treated me any differently. Never. He's been around for so many of my escapades and the crazy shit that I've done. And, you know, and just always been there to pick me up, get me home, make sure I was okay the next day. And I love him for that. That's my big brother. So, yeah, man, I hope he has a dope birthday. Wish I could be there to celebrate with you, bro. But, yeah, I know you're going to do it big. Man, I love you. Thinking of you. And, yeah, to everybody that I ever called brother in life, I meant that shit when I said it. I don't know, you know, regardless of where we are now, you know, I care about you, want the best for you. We may never be able to be as cool as we were, but, you know, you can always be a brother. You know, you always got a brother. You always got somebody that'll look out for you if you need them to. So, yeah, with that being said, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. Shouts to everybody with a December birthday, all the Sag crew. And what y'all got against Sag people? Like, everybody that's into that shit, like, whenever I'm in a conversation with young people and they start talking about the astrological signs and like dating and stuff like that, it's like Sagittarius men or something to be avoided or something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, me and Reg are both Sagittarius, and I think we are on like complete opposite ends of the spectrum. I'm an introvert, he's more extroverted. You know, we different in stature, we different in like every way a person can be different. I guess we do. That's not my real brother, but we favor each other enough that I've been able to use his ID. I guess people think that all black people look alike, so it works out that way. But whatever, it is what it is. But with that being said, I'm going to let y'all up out of here. If you made it this far, again, I appreciate you. You are the real MVP. Please hit up the website, whatistws.com/store, and check out the merch. It still is hoodie season, even though I got to put the AC on in my apartment for whatever reason. It is hoodie season. So you can use coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN, to get 20% off your entire order. It's just like it's the cold weather stuff. Blankets, hats, hoodies, long sleeve shirts, all of that. 20% off hoodie season. Hit up the store. Help me out. If you like what you heard, leave a review. You know, share it with a friend. If you didn't, leave a review. Let me know what's fucked up about the show, what's dumb about it, whatever. I take criticism well, I think. Kind of, maybe. I'm not going to drink about it. But it is what it is. Shouts to the Chime In podcast and the Thing About Us podcast, man. Like, I see everything and I appreciate the support. It means a lot to me. I think both of your shows are dope. And the fact that, you know, you think something I do over here is entertaining as well is just the biggest compliment you could possibly give me. You don't understand, but yeah, I appreciate you guys. If you're listening, you know, if you have not checked out Chime In podcast or The Thing About Us, please check them out. Both dope shows. But thank you guys for the support. And with that being said, y'all be easy. Y'all be safe and be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, brother, sister, whatever, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.